Our current, yeah, that's yeah, there you go. That's a good idea. Our current GIS infrastructure is very outdated. It's very old, and it's kind of we keep putting band-aids on it. So, we obviously have to get that migrated, and that's been one of the main focuses for our division the last couple of years. But still haven't determined the exact direction we're going. I'm hoping, and Yiming told me in our staff meeting this morning that he's hoping to make a decision on that before the end of next month. So I told him we theoretically have approximately 2 years to get this work complete. So.
Okay. Yes, this is meant to be high level. It's get things started so we can have follow-up meetings.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe
And
even at the end of this, we can schedule something kind of like a reoccurring
absolutely.
meeting set up, maybe bi-monthly or once a month or however you want to do it until we progress further into the migration.
I think that would be a good idea. Yeah, at
Right.
least monthly. Yeah, so we can have recurring meetings. Eric can set that up. So
Okay, sounds good.
the Heather is going to talk more about the operational side. You see all the plans, the highway plans that are on the viewer, the non-spatial and the spatial viewers. So you're familiar with that, but all behind all that's that manages the operations from scanning and well, even before that, it's the naming and the scanning. And then the image processing and creating the plan books, the PDF plan books and the geo referencing. So she's going to go get the high level, and
Okay.
that's in a database that manages that. It's a centralized enterprise database. And then Jim is going to talk about the system migration and different scenarios. So
Okay.
just trying to get, so that's just kind of a kickoff meeting. So Heather, I guess you've got the floor.
All right.
Thank you, Kurt.
Well, hello everyone, and thank you for your time as I give you this brief overview on the operational side of the DOT scanning project here at the Tech Center. I would like to preface this with the fact that some of these processes are what work for us, mainly because we are not the DOT, and not everything that we do will be the most efficient for your cases, but most of which is easily transferable. So here is the roadmap of my presentation, broken into three sections. The main section and main point of all of this is an overview of the processing of plans before a brief explanation of how we manage the project, and then finally concluding with some project statistics. So onto the overview. Here is the summary operational flow. Processes under the line are the base steps, which all interns are taught, and the three steps above the line are all higher management processes. I will break these down after we take a glance at some of the key software and tools that we use. Along the way, you're going to see these icons located next to steps, which include the use of this specific software or similar tool. We utilize Adobe Photoshop and Acrobat, ArcGIS Pro, and Microsoft Access as an interface for our SQL database. We also utilize some custom scripts in a network drive for the hosting, storage, and dissemination of data. The first step is the project preparation itself, starting when we receive plans. Each folder is checked for organization and assembled in an easier to work with format if needed. And finally, the technician enters the plan information from the transmittal sheets for each plan into our database through Access. And here on the file naming step, you can see the first example of one of those icons from the previous legend indicating the use of Access. After plans have been prepared, we move to them to a pile where interns take a folder of plans and begin to work through the four base stages, starting with scanning. They check the scanners clean and set up correctly and clean and repair pages as needed. As they scan, each digital page is then checked for errors like folds or artifacts resulting from dirt. The folder for each plan is uploaded to the network drive so interns can then begin work on their personal workstations. here's the general layout. There is our scanning room with the wonderful Whitney, who volunteered to stand there as our intern representative. We have two scanners in the center and table storages around the perimeter. And we have designated spots for each stage the plans are in, processing wise. And this is one of those steps that it's probably going to be very different for the DOT. Once in the network drive, the technician copies the plan files to their workstation and begins the rest of the process post-scanning. So in Photoshop, they first straighten the image, crop it, and apply an auto contrast for image quality, and then they re-upload the files to the network drive, replacing those original scans.
They work on them on the network and save them back to the network, or do they copy them down to the local machine and process them? Then is that why you're saying they're relocated?
Yes, we work specifically, we have them do these processes specifically out on their local machines.
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
Yes. And this also prevents the accidental deletion of plans and
I like
progress
it.
Along the way.
Yeah,
and
good idea.
Keeps our network drive from being used frequently.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. The next step then takes the process TIFFs and combines them into that single PDF, which then utilizes Acrobat's text recognition and compression tools to finish the document. The finished product is once again checked for errors and then uploaded to the network drive. This is a very important step to do on your local machine and not from the network drive, because Adobe Acrobat is mean. But the final base step is georeferencing, and the intern begins by taking the cover page of the plan and finding its location in ArcGIS Pro. Control points are set, which transform the image to reflect its real-life scale and position on the map. And once exported and named, the intern relocates this final file to the network drive for quality control. This is the first higher-level task that interns are usually assigned to. This process begins with checking that the TIFFs in the TIFF folder are processed correctly and the quantities correct. The main two steps examine the PDF and the GeoTIFF, both of which are checked for quality and accuracy. No errors are found. The plans folder is renamed using our renaming script and then relocated to a secondary finished plan location on our network drive to begin the publishing process. And that is where it stays. The publishing step is the final part of the process and is normally performed by the project lead on a monthly basis. This whole process takes place in the network drive through ArcGIS Pro scripts and tools, and it also interacts with the database. In other words, this is where the magic happens. First, the GeoTIFFs are extracted from their compressed zip folders and then added to the raster mosaic. Once added, we run a script which builds footprints for each raster, the coordinates of which are added to the database so it can properly be projected on the website. Each new plan is then toggled to publish and published in the Access interface, where you can then view it on our highway plan locator. Which brings us to our second section, where I will briefly discuss how we go about managing. And once again, a large part of how we do this is because we are not the DOT. So starting out, this is a very abstract chart. For the most part, there is a project leader, a co-leader, and then the rest of the interns. Once they are trained consistently submitting quality work, a few are selected to assist in quality control and plan preparation. Right now we have three interns, not including myself, who can QC and name plans, and a total of 9 interns currently work on this project with me. And going back to the highway plan locator, you're probably familiar with it, but I just want to highlight it here, as this is indeed the public interface that allows you to search for plans as needed. And if wanted, we can come back for a brief demonstration of this after the presentation. As far as documentation goes, the most important one we utilize is the access interface, as it stores all of the data and allows us to calculate statistics and make queries. And I would like to show you a brief demonstration of this, but I apologize in advance since I am working remotely right now. It might not be very friendly.
A local access database on the DOT or the WVU network.
This is the Microsoft Access interface to our server where we enter the data.
Okay. Probably need a VPN connection.
No. I just need. Okay. My monitor is just really high resolution, so it's just going to be a little bit wonky here. Hopefully this looks legible. Can you all see this?
Yeah, I can see it, yeah.
All right, but this is the database. This is where we enter. That's not supposed to be there. But...
Can you zoom in a little bit, Heather? It's pretty.
No, small. Unfortunately, I can't. That's kind of one of the things that I was worried about.
Okay. Well, you just describe some of the fields. So
I can see them. Okay, it's not too bad.
The project title, all the data that you see when you look at the website is stored in here.
Okay.
This is also what allows us to actually finally publish it. This column right here that has these twos. Two means that it is published. It populates these XY coordinates and uses those for the display on the website. But there's quite a few different layers of interaction going on here. There's also an operator portion of this where we have our interns enter information. And all this also is pulled by this table where it produces a project key for each plan that we enter. So that is a very brief summary.
Heather, can I just pause you there? Dustin, do you have access databases, Microsoft? I mean, that's Jim or Brad.
Yeah, we definitely do. The one caveat is, it's not really a caveat. We, Information Technology Division, we're always going to have access to Microsoft Access, but a lot of other divisions and districts, they're being kind of shied away from it because of our Google Workspace now. But we obviously still have access to Microsoft Access. And this is obviously just the front end to your big SQL database in the background.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, good.
We'll be able to make this work. I did notice on the far right there, you got some URN project-wise.
Received any of those?
Yeah, there's not. It didn't seem like there was too many. I've just seen one.
Not too many. Yeah.
URNs. Yeah. I figured Kevin Huffman got you started on that.
He got us started. We did just to set it up for demonstration purposes, but we've got some here, and I'm not sure if those links even still, we'd have to go through that.
They should be dynamic enough to work, but that's kind of something maybe think about for the future in our migration of obviously where we're going to physically store all this stuff. Maybe we can expand and actually fix those project-wise links for all this stuff.
I mean, is the goal to put everything in project-wise,
yet? To me, I don't think that's the route that I'm going to choose. Right. It may be chosen for me.
Right.
I'm not 100% certain, but I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, that may be out of the scope of this right project, but that's something to think about. And just for the tech center staff, the project wise, that's the management system that DOT uses for all all new plans.
Yeah, project information, basically.
All the project information from the vendors, their contractors. It's all, everything is digital now.
Yeah.
And that started, what, about 10 years ago? Or when the project
was? Yeah, it was about 2012, 2013, we started implementing that.
So that's why we've been focused on all the plans before 2010. I'm sure there's some overlap, but hopefully most of the plans we have are not in ProjectWise.
You're exactly right. Yeah, that's theoretically it should be true.
Yeah, I know we'll see. We get some emails occasionally saying, hey, this plan shouldn't be here.
Right. So we should be really scanning in a 2020-year-old, 2020 vintage plan or 2021 or, because those should already be in ProjectWise. Is that right, Dustin? I mean, we shouldn't be.
You're exactly right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one over 2021.
Right.
I think I've seen some over 2021, but.
Okay, Heather, go ahead and finish. Yeah.
But, aside from the access, the other way that we specifically track this is, once again, kind of just how we do it here. And this is a chaotic document, and mostly for my benefit. So this is how, it's a more visual way of going about tracking what plans are good and what state they're in. Because access isn't very visual with that, it would more just be a column that we would have to set, and that would require more interns to have access or for me to sit down and basically transfer all of this. So this is they also enter this information into access, but this is the visual side.
Well, I like it.
Yeah. So this is more internal, provided more flexibility. This doesn't mean DOT has to use this methodology.
Yeah, no, I get it. I like the color coded stuff, and it's definitely more visual. So I like
But that some of the key parts of that are in, or when the projects are done, they're uploaded into the access database. Correct, Heather? I mean the key in the project information, and it was completed or the.
Along the way, every time that they complete a step, they log it into Access. So
it's
also there, which is a lot easier to query than this Google spreadsheet. So everything has their specific goal and use. For example, an honorable mention here, the WebQC status Google sheet, which is really just for me, so I can ensure that each plan is displaying properly on the website. And with our recent transfer to a new server, as well as a port from ArcMap to ArcPro, I'd like to apologize in advance for any plans which might have been affected by this process and are no longer displaying correctly. I am that they are a top priority to be fixed.
Okay. I haven't got any emails recently.
I'll send them on. Send them on to me, and I will immediately address those. So.
Yeah, sometimes our right away guy Travis Rose finds. I think it's more of a, the RW1, 2s, and 3s, multiple scenarios being scanned in when it's just the finals that need, a little bit of overlap there, but that's not too big of a deal, really.
Yeah, we can just remove
those. I'm sure we'll find those along the way, probably for the entirety of the project.
Yeah, there's a very large variation of different plans and a lot of nuance going on.
Versions,
he's
talking about the right, and so there may be five different versions of a plan. You're right, and we try to do a report or a gem on duplications. The status, and there's some nuances there. So, but we did take a stab at that, trying to see if we had duplicates. Maybe from the half books, and I don't. That's something we can look at another time.
Yeah, that's no problem.
But it's a little, there's more nuances, like you said, than, it's different, all the different versions and everything. But somebody who knows the system, they can go in
and the good thing about it is it's better to capture everything than miss a few things, So in my mind, the more the merrier. We can trim as needed. So I'm not too concerned about that. Now, if we're completely missing something, then obviously that's more of a big deal. But We have too much. I'm not concerned about that.
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Heather.
Yeah. On to just kind of where we are milestone-wise, bring a little humanity to it. We're currently working through phase three of the project, and our next milestone is at that 400,000 pages scanned. We just recently hit over 10,000 published plans. Both of these are unfortunate for Kurt's cake budget, but I'm looking forward to it.
Right, I owe Heather a cake. So.
Nice, yeah, I hear you. I like that, though.
Two cakes.
This yeah. one, multiple two cakes, huh?
That's right. I like to...
We need a 400, so the cake will be a 400K...
10K published.
And a 10K plan published.
Nice.
All right. So here's some project statistics. Most of them are up to date, but some are from later February. But most of the general statistics around those late February numbers are more percentage based and really haven't changed. So first, our last projection included in the last two monthly activity reports estimated 1,655 sets of project books left as of February 23rd. And according to estimations from Jonathan Adkins, assuming there is an average of 5 plans per drawer. And using the average page count that we have of 37.6 pages per plan, that estimates approximately 62,228 individual pages left. Obviously, some plans are extremely large and some are extremely small. So take that number with a grain of salt. But using an average between this estimation and the difference of 111,149 plans, pages between the estimated 500,000 total deliverables for phases 1 through 3, I give a more realistic projection of about 86,689 pages. That was a lot of math, but it is in the monthly reports if you ever want to.
Oh yeah, I'll check those out. That sounds right.
So far, we have scanned a total of 388,851 sheets, 10,466 plans, and published 10,188 of those plans. And now that our publishing tool is back and upgraded, I expect those numbers to be much closer in the near future.
That's pretty impressive. When did phase one start again, Kurt? Remind me on that.
Oh, well, I'd have
2013 or somewhere around
there. Yeah, sounds about right. I'd have to go back. It should be in a proposal, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember Kevin heading that up probably around that time. That's pretty good. Those are good numbers.
It was kind of slow at first too, Dustin, because we did a lot of testing and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, like you said, getting your infrastructure built up too.
Well, it took a while. We got, when we got the two new scanners, they were you know, productivity increased because we could scan faster and that operation that helped too. So yeah.
Well, and that's a good point. That's something that I'm gonna have to keep in mind and remember, you know, more than likely for, let's say, next, not this coming fiscal year, but for next fiscal year's budget. Getting a production scanner is going to be critical in this. Obviously, that's what you had to do, because right now the scanners that we have are just basically like, we do have a couple of the older, like the Osei TDS flatbed scanners. But the scanners that are primarily used now are just the ones internally built into the HP PageWide plotters. And those aren't really for production scanning or scanning really fast at all. So I'll have to get some recommendations from you all on what model to get.
Okay.
Probably get something very similar to what you have, I'd say.
We've been satisfied with the scanners that we have.
So. Okay, good. Yeah, and they're kind of like the flatbed, like sheet like you can kind of create like a obviously based on your in your room there, you've got that picture where it shows you got them set up, you know, going in one way and out on the other side.
Right. They're sheep feeders.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Yeah.
We have our little jerry-rigged
yeah, to make
paper
sure
catchers. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and it actually goes onto the table and doesn't fold back on itself.
It does actually come with a little basket underneath it, but
what's the model on those scanners? What's the brand on it?
ColorTrack. ColorTrack.
Okay, cool.
What's the largest size, Eric, that we can scan? Or Heather, do you know the width?
These are 42.
42.
Yeah,
okay.
42 inch wide.
We didn't get the largest. You know, Justin, one time, yeah, we got some big plans. I don't know, I was working with Yuming or somebody, or Eric may remember, but I don't know, it was like the 1933, your county highway maps. We sent them down to Texas. They were just too big, you know. So if
these ones, by any chance?
Well, that's lame.
That was long. The minimum dimension has to be less than the maximum dimension of the scanner, and some of them were bigger than that.
That one
you see in that picture was, it fit width wise, but it was 16 feet long, which is okay. You can scan available width to available memory, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But did it
get that whole 16 foot scan in one swoop, or did you
I think it did. I think so.
Wow.
We haven't had too many of those. That was one of the earlier shipments. That was like one of the very, that was
first one.
We took a picture of that. It's like a big long snake skin.
Yeah. 16 foot rolled out plan. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Is that ColorTrack was the name on those?
Yeah, ColorTrack.
Okay, cool.
And I can send you the specifics. You know, the technology I don't think has changed much. It's possible that another brand is out there with good recommendations, but these guys, I mean, they've really held up well. Now we've gone through, probably three sets of scan glass and roller assembly on each scanner over that period of time. So there are consumable parts, but
it seems like they've worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
For you there. Okay, cool. Well, that's good to know. That's definitely more, you know, something I'll keep an eye on for later on. Okay, what we got here? Plan type breakdown.
Up here, and it also shows it's a breakdown of plan type shown over the last 4 years. You can kind of see there was definitely a restart there in 2021 when we started to get some more again, and then there wasn't much change between 2021 and 2022 because we didn't have any interns. But now we're starting to get some more movement going, and from our six categories that we have here, construction design plans are the highest, and right away, right after that, there's only 17 as-built plans, which I found very interesting. But
I think a lot of that has to do with how the contractor supplies those as-built plans to us. I've noticed in a lot of scenarios that it's not really, there's no consistency on when they're given, how they're given. But I'll tell you what, out of the, whatever's left out beyond the 17, 99.9% of them should be in ProjectWise. So that's where they should be, theoretically. That's where the contractors are supposed to put those back once they're done. So,
all right.
Again, it's probably a good thing you don't see a really high number there.
Yeah, the most important information for the specific meeting, though, is how much storage space is utilized by all these plans.
Yeah.
You can see here on this, to conclude, here is that breakdown. Our server holds 10 terabytes total, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jim Moore, Yibing. But currently, it's only holding 4 terabytes of data, not counting backups of original scans or any other backups. The true total size of plans is actually around 10 terabytes. However, we were starting to run out of storage on the server at one point, so we removed a lot of these uncompressed TIFFs that you can see take up a huge amount of the percentage of storage space. They're not used for actual publishing, so we just have backups of them kept in external storage.
So the uncompressed TIFF is the original scanned.
Yes.
That's obviously why the storage is a lot higher. So you don't actually use those for production. You use the compressed TIFF that's georeferenced, and you store the uncompressed TIFFs off the network, storage drive, something
when
like
that. Eventually we Frank, he had gone through and he got just removed a selection of TIFFs.
Okay.
We still, like, when we upload new ones, they go with their TIFFs.
Okay.
But when we start running out of data, we just make sure that they're backed up.
But external storage is right. I mean, there's not, we move it to, they try to have two drive, you know, a drive, external drive backup to the other external drive.
Okay. Yeah. And you got, just to confirm too, you got all those drives that were given back that Jonathan and Jacob brought to you.
Correct.
Yes.
Should have been the large, maybe 20 terabyte one, and then I think two of the smaller.
Right.
Right. Yes, drives. We did get those back.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right, good.
So why this is important, because you don't need all the uncompressed TIFFs, you know, just originals, the scans, the sheet scans.
They are technically included in the PDF.
Yeah, because the PDF book will have every, you know, that's what's published. You need to be focused on when you do your specs of what needs to be on your server. You know, if you're looking, if space is important, you need to have the published and the georeference, and that's a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And that's what Heather Stand is about. Was that about four? What's the,
Yeah, there are a selection included. They're not on this slide because I did this back in February, but I did a more recent breakdown that I included in the last monthly activity report that shows, because to do the publishing, we have to extract the compressed GeoTIFF files into a folder, but that was, let me bring it up here.
And this slide, you say main folder, is that the GeoTIFFs and PDFs? Is that 4 terabytes?
Yeah, that's our main folder where the website pulls from. And
okay. I guess, just need to know.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. And I've based like all my tentative numbers that I've given to our network and infrastructure crew. We're going to probably shoot for around 20 terabyte total.
Sure.
And that's just to help out with a little bit, you know, future expansion and growth for the project once we move everything internally. So I think I'm good with the 20 terabyte number for a while on this. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So about 15% of these uncompressed TIFFs are the extracted GeoTIFF files that are needed for publishing, but it's not a very large, it's half a terabyte worth of data.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm not too concerned about the storage here. The only thing I'm concerned about is where is it going to be? Cloud or internal VM storage? That's what Yuming and Hussein will let me know hopefully soon.
And that is all that I have for you today. I know it was a lot of information. So if you find yourself with any more questions or comments, feel free to speak up and ask.
No, that was
elaborate on.
That was a very good presentation. I like the way that you organized that, Heather. That was very good.
Thank you. I like making PowerPoints.
Yeah, no, you're good at that for sure.
Jim will be covering the technical system migration topic.
Okay.
Next, so I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing here.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Hi, Dustin. I don't know if we've ever actually met.
I don't think so, man.
Yeah, I was involved in the project a long time ago when it was first starting. I wrote a lot of the Python scripts that are used and set up the database and
nice.
So I only, I think I visited DOT once, and but I don't recall the people who were there when I.
Okay, well, you're more than welcome to come down anytime. Maybe we need to set up a visit.
Well, I'll have to commute from South Dakota then. That's where I live.
Oh, right? Wow. Yeah. If you're in South Dakota, that's going to be a big commute.
But I may come out there to visit it anyhow at some point. So.
Sounds good.
As you can see, I don't have a PowerPoint slide. This is a copy of the migration scenarios document that we sent down. I don't know if you did. You okay. Have a chance
to look at I haven't that? Gotten a chance to look at that, but I will definitely review it for sure.
Okay, what I can do is what I was going to do is go over it real quickly. Just to get some feedback from you and to see what our goal is here is to try and get a handle on how you all see the migration going so that we can arrange the whole movement of data and connectivity and all that in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So what I've got here, this document just kind of talks about the different services that we have and where they would end up residing once the while the migration's occurring and then once it's complete. So basically just the main services or database services, which is all our SQL Server for the activity scanning database, and then also the geo database that supports the website. Mm-hmm. Then the ArcGIS services. And website hosting, this is just the hosting of the websites, the public websites, mm-hmm. and then file storage for all the data that Heather was just talking about. And so what we want to do is just kind of determine the plan for migrating all of that stuff down to your machines and to your operations staff.
Yeah.
And so what this is just a generalized little layout of where all those things reside right now. So basically everything is at the tech center, you know, the file server, database server, and web server. And then the operators, working here as well. Mm-hmm. So everything is housed at the same location. So these are arrows are basically the data connectivity and the data path. So operators need access to the database server and the file server. ArcGIS needs access to the database server and then the web server needs to access the files and the ArcGIS server to be able to, and the database server. I left a line out here actually. So the web server needs to be able to hit all those other services to present everything.
Yeah.
So given that kind of basic background, I just wanted to, the point of this document is to go over the migration scenarios. How do we get that to your site?
Yeah.
And it's really two main questions that we want to, that we need to answer in order to figure out how to migrate it correctly. And then the one is whether you all anticipate simultaneous scanning operations at DOT and at the tech center. So
yeah, I right off the top of the bat here, to me, I think that we would probably be wise not to do simultaneous scanning operations.
Yeah, I agree with you.
so we'll leave that completely. You all can handle that until we, basically flip the switch.
Okay.
Yeah, that way we don't cross. We don't cross over, and I think it would just create more problems if we did that.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. So that's good. That checks off that first one for us. But then the other one, is there any of the services going to remain at the tech center? And the one that seems possibly could is the web hosting.
Yeah, so that's something I will find out for sure. I mean, we create public websites here all the time, but there are our Office of Technology are, kind of strict with some of the scenarios that we have for public-facing information. So, I would hope, and I'm 99.9% sure that we can pull all of this in internally.
Okay.
We may not need to have you all host anything outside of this entire project, but okay. I will confirm that for sure.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, Jim. Sorry. What I'll do is this document let me go back and make sure I have this in my email here. Did this come, was this email to me from Eric or Kurt or you, or who sent this to me?
I don't know, Kurt. Do you know who sent that out?
Let me see. Was
it? I would say it went from there to Kerr, probably.
It's also going to be in on the monthly report. There is a link to a FTP file where you will be able to download it if you ever
okay.
need it.
Yeah, it's
quite a few documents.
Yeah, Jim, if you don't mind, or Kurt or Heather, or whoever, somebody after this, just send that send this document back to me. And what I'll do is I'll review it page by page, and then I'll answer all these migration scenario questions in red, basically.
Okay.
And then I can send it back to you.
I'll email a copy to you.
Okay. Yeah, because I need to, you know, I need to, there's several factors I need to confirm before I tell you 100%. But my thought right off the bat is we want to inherit all of this, and I don't think it's going to be an issue for us to host that website and make it public facing.
Okay. Well, that really simplifies it then. Because the first scenario is basically what you're saying. Everything
DOT, same setup
as now, but it's all moved to DOT versus Texas.
Yeah, and all those things that, you know, that all has to be worked out, because we, you know, we have file servers, storage servers, we have our GIS enterprise system, we've got web servers, database servers, but literally every bit of that is going to be upgraded within the next, say, 2 to 3 years. At the exact same time we're migrating all this stuff, we're going to be upgrading our internal systems here.
Yeah.
Kind of works out in an interesting fashion.
Well, actually, we just upgraded servers as well. So
That's what I thought.
This whole process of migrating the databases, your databases, and your website to new servers, we actually went through that process.
Yeah, you just did it. Yeah.
It was a good little trial run. Yeah. So basically, if this is it, then, you know, this talks about it a little bit, you know, just very, very simple. The next scenario, which I think we can. Well, maybe this is where we handle part of it, is if we host the web server. And the only reason for doing that might be it would be under mapwv.gov, but we could even work around that. If you host it, we could.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Now, mapwv.gov, is that the domain that you all pay for? And well, obviously you pay for it and host it, right? Is that transferable?
Well, we have other things under it as well. So that's right. We need to just figure out how to handle that.
Okay.
You could host it down there or this scenario here. Now, the complicating thing about this scenario is if we do host it, we do need access to your file servers to be able to serve out the documents, or you'd have to create like REST services or something.
Yeah, to push the database to, and you grab it.
Yeah, and it's the same with the database and the ARC server if you had it. Yeah. So certainly if you could house it all in,
it would be easier
for you.
Yeah, no, I like that you put these scenarios in. I mean, because theoretically, we have a scenario almost similar to this right now with my CORS network.
Okay.
And like I said, that's a possibility that we may have to go that route, but I'm hoping that we don't. Like I said, most of it relies on what direction we're going to go with our infrastructure here. So,
okay.
I'm hoping to have a really solid answers for you all by the end of next month. Like I said, that's what Yuming told me this morning, because I've been aggravating him about it for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Jim. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So the next one, I think sounds like we might be able to ignore, is where we have both Tech Center and DOT operators doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah,
because I agree with you. It would certainly complicate things. You know, we have to coordinate activities and.
That would be tough, especially here. And it's going to be a tall task for us to get this moving internally once we migrate. So I certainly don't want to throw another wrench in there for you all. So
Now, the last one, maybe it kind of touches on what you were mentioning, is to have, if you host things on the cloud, we could potentially set all that up while we're, you know, that it changes potentially how we might do the migration of the operations, because we could potentially set things up on the cloud while we continue to operate and hit those servers.
That's true. Yeah.
And then, you know, just basically switch over to you doing it. But that, That's just another thing, depending on the direction you go with your
cloud maybe we can even set a date where we switch from your all's internally hosted systems to, you know, potentially the cloud services, and be kind of indirectly starting the migration already. You know, just set it, switch it over, and boom, your all's operators, you know, are still scanning and functioning through the system, but it's just you're hitting a different server now.
Right, right.
Yeah, I like that approach. We probably lean towards that. Hopefully, it just depends. Like I said, who knows? We may go cloud, we may go internal here.
Yeah. And you still have some of the other complexity of whether part of it still remains hosted at the tech center. You know, those kind of questions still need to be answered.
Yep.
Very good. Yeah, there's four scenarios in here that are kind of food for thought.
I like it.
That you can take a look at. I think, like you said, it all depends on what your IT people come up with for hardware.
Yeah, that's the biggest question. And the reason why I've been asking about it adamantly here is, you know, just so I can get some answers for not just you all, but for a multitude of other reasons here. I said, our ESRI infrastructure is kind of on its last leg. I'm hoping that it holds up for a little while longer.
Well, that's the whole question then of whether you migrate some of that to the ArcGIS Online portal environment and all that. So there are a lot of questions here, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're hopefully, like I said, I think I got in. I mentioned it to Yiming again this morning, and he's going to kick things back up with the infrastructure group. And like I say, he told me he should have some answers by the end of next month. So I'm gonna hold him to that.
Okay. Well, good. Well, yeah, I'll send you this right after the meeting. I fixed a couple of typos in it, so this way you'll get the cleaner version too.
Yeah, and then what I'll do is I'll talk with Yiming and Hussein, and then I'll meet with our internal networking and infrastructure groups here and just make sure and confirm all the tentative numbers that I've been giving them are still accurate. And as far as storage, I know we're good on the database side. ArcGIS infrastructure, again, that's going to, you know, determine, you know, got to wait on the direction that they're going to determine those. But I think overall, though, you know, we've got the right idea and the right plan here. For these scenarios, there's only a couple of different ways that we can go, and you got them nailed down there. So,
okay, sounds good. Well, that's what I have, I guess, for you. I'll stop sharing.
Yeah, just thinking right off the top of my head here too, the website hosting service, mapwv.gov. That obviously that's your all's. I think what we could probably end up doing is just use, and we'll probably end up piggybacking off of our GIS .transportation.wv.gov. Subdomain. So we'll probably turn it into, you know, gis.transportation.wv.gov/DOT plans.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that's more than likely what's going to end up happening there, I'd say. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. I just want to chime in. Sorry. If you want, you can also keep the mapwv.gov/DOT plan, whatever.
Have a redirect.
And we can set up a redirect.
URL and redirect. Yeah, that'd be perfectly fine. Maybe, you know, hang on to that for, you know, a little while, however long you all would want to, till we could get the general public pointed in the right direction. Now just to give you all a heads up, it's really nice to be able to use this plans viewer. So right away division right now is setting up a new internal process for, we get a lot of consultants and contractors and all these different companies looking for right-of-way widths and information regarding our right-of-way, but they're too lazy to go look at the plans on the plans viewer. But what's funny is right-of-way division has now put a stop to them blowing up our district right-of-way agents and some of our internal employees here. And they're creating an official request form that they actually have to pay for. Okay, so basically what we're doing is having them pay for the request makes them more apt to use the plans viewer and find the information themselves, right? So that's exactly what's been happening. So you should see a little bit of an increase here within the next month or two on people using the plans viewer, mostly for finding right of way information, because now they don't want to pay for it. You know, they wanted us to spend all those man hours and time looking all this information up whenever they had access to those plans, you know, pretty much already. So
what's the charge, Dustin? I'm just curious.
What they're going to be charging is, I think it's $50 per request. And if they have like a certain number of routes, then if they have over 10 routes that they're requesting right away information for, they increase that price exponentially.
Yeah,
they're working on a public facing web app, a request form, and they've already got it approved by the auditors to use the app. And basically that's the first point, is like right on the form, if you do not want to pay for this, use the DOT plans viewer to find your own information, essentially. So
I'm sure that'll lead to more traffic.
Sure. Yeah, it should at some point. Like I said, it's been going on now for some time, and we just met with right of way folks internally about 2 months ago, and they determined, hey, we're spending a lot of time and money and resources here, when they can go out and find the information themselves. So
right.
So what happens when they start emailing us?
Yeah,
asking me to find plans for.
No. So if you get an email trying to find plans and stuff like that, please forward that to me, and I'll point them to the right direction for sure.
Okay, because I know that that's happened a couple of times.
Send them on over. Yeah, we don't want you all to have to do that.
We can look at the help section too if we need to update that. What's the help on the DOT plans? I don't know if there's an email or.
Well, we did have that updated recently. Did we point that to, I think it's GP Help Desk? Let me pull up the plans viewer here and see if I can find on help. I'm pretty sure we
contact us.
It's HDS Help Desk. Okay, so yeah, that HDS Help Desk is fine. That's perfectly fine.
It's easy for us to update that. Just send us information, whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah, and I see right there down at the bottom, you've got, please contact the GIS Tech Center with questions or comments about this site. Now, to be honest with you, Heather or Kurt, whatever, you could probably take that off if you don't want to get bombarded with emails and calls about this stuff. But please forward that stuff to me on requests and plans and stuff. I can forward those out. That's not a problem.
That's fine. I think the contact information is okay as long as it's DOT contact.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can take your all's stuff off.
Yeah, I don't think we have our stuff on there. I don't think we even have it in the desktop.
Well, it's got a please contact, but it goes to your about page, and Kurt, your email is right there at the very top. Can you find the data you need? Contact Kurt, website problems, Frank. Metadata issues, Eric. Training is Kevin Kuhn. And then,
are you showing that right now? Because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, here, hold on. I'll send you the link. It basically takes you directly to your GIS Tech Center about page.
Yeah, he was going. If you go through
on the help panel. Yeah, down at the very bottom, it says, please contact GIS Tech Center with questions or comments about this site. And it provides that link to your about page. And just you know, immediately looking at the page, your email is the first contact at the top of the list. So I'm surprised that you don't get emailed a lot more there.
Okay.
Like I said, if you want to take all that off and just put our DOT stuff, that's perfectly fine. HDS Help Desk.
Okay.
And that's not a problem, because one of our employees, Angie here, she does a lot of the route research and historical data, finding it for people. And so she's the main point of contact. She's the one that monitors that email primarily. So hdshelpdesk@wv.gov.
Okay.
Hey, Dustin, I just sent you that document as well.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's a good document. I appreciate you putting that together, too. So I will print that off, and I will definitely talk to you. I'll sit down and talk to you, Ming and Hussein. I'll talk to our internal infrastructure people here, make sure we're headed in the right direction. And then what do you all think? So we're here at the end of April, almost May. When would you like to do the next meeting?
I mean, I think...
You want to do about a month out?
Yes, that'd be fine. We've got some conferences and meetings like in mid-May, so...
Okay.
We just maybe like the last week of May or something.
That's perfectly fine. Eric, if you want to set that up, that would be fine. The one thing I will suggest though for the next meeting is set us up a, if you don't mind setting us up a calendar invite or something.
Okay.
And using Zoom is cool. Just make sure to put that Zoom meeting information in there. That's why I asked this morning, because what we do around here is, well, I know you, Ming, and myself a lot. We rely on the calendar because we've got so much stuff going on. So, but I knew it was coming. I figure you, Ming, and Hussein, they may not have remembered basically because of it not being on the calendar. However, I did email everybody this morning. So should have been a good reminder for them, right?
No.
But yeah, just, if you don't mind, just calendar invite would be cool.
Okay.
The other point is, you know, Ebing's, you know, and Jim, it's been a process moving to the new server, so there may be some lessons learned because eventually you're going to be migrating to new servers. So
yes, yeah,
they have some experience doing that. So it's a process. It's not something you do. You're not going to do overnight.
No, there's a lot of coordination there, and that's actually kind of. I guess that kind of works out okay that you all just went through a migration yourself. Definitely, it'll be, I think that'll be very helpful to us whenever we go to migrate this thing.
I guess this is for Jim and Ebing. If there are any notes that, you know, before you forget that you think would be helpful, maybe we should just record some of that information. What we, you know, so they would, I don't know what that is, but they would know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Ebing, is that how you pronounce your name there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So are you a consultant as well with Jim or?
No, I work in the tech center.
You work in the tech center. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you on the IT infrastructure side there?
Not really. I just basically like web development and recently since Frank left, I picked up those like sysadmin part of the work temporarily.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
The Ebing's the one that did the spatial interface, the spatial query, you know, the viewer.
Okay.
And then Jim did a lot of the database, the non-spatial query.
Okay, very good.
And so kind of, you know, Jim's expertise is more on the database. He's an expert with the databases, especially the SQL Server and Microsoft. But they overlap. I mean, both these guys are pretty talented. So you've got some good people here to help you out.
Yeah, that's very good. I'm glad to know that for sure.
All right. Well, I think that was a good kickoff meeting. And then
very much so.
And I think everybody knows to do the follow-ups. Eric will take care of the meeting, the next meeting. Okay. You know, we can set it up with the Outlook or the calendar notification. And Jim's already sent you the system design document. Yep. And I guess.
Yeah, I will definitely. I'll have that ready hopefully within a couple of weeks, but definitely before our next meeting, I will have that document filled out and hopefully all the questions answered. And hopefully by the time we meet next time, hopefully I can give you an actual direction of which way we're going.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. Yeah, because it's that information that you determine your system design and your specifications and a timeline. So you know, we could set it up where, yes, you bring up your system and we have our system and they could be both functioning, and then we do the switch over.
Yeah, we just flip a switch, you know. That'd be perfectly fine. And then we can get down into more details as far as specifications once I know the direction we're going, VM or cloud-based or physical servers. So that, because that's going to obviously determine quite a bit of it. So.
So you're saying you have to have the new hardware and all that before you're going to migrate. Am I hearing that right?
Well, yes and no. And the reason why I say yes and no is because I don't know exactly how long or what the plan is for, like, you know, how this is obviously going to take some time. So it could be like a 2-year process. It could be a 2-month process or a 10-year, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the plan is. So I figure there's going to be some overlap with old infrastructure, new infrastructure, you know. But I want to time it out to where we're not bouncing around. You know, I just want to kind of flip a switch and boom, have something set in place.
So you don't want to migrate to the current or old infrastructure. You want to go to the new infrastructure.
Yeah, I want to go to the new
stuff. Hopefully it will be in the near term future, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I'm hoping on the state procurement schedule, though, it's not 2 years from now.
So I know, yeah, exactly.
That's my concern that
you know, it's definitely part of my concern as well. That's something I actually had to deal with today because of a test server that we have set up running a production FME environment, and it's a refurbished physical server that was used. You know, it was basically handed down to us from another agency, refurbished and repurposed, and now it's turned into a production FME environment for GIS. So, you know, it's not really something we want to do, but that's what we're having to do because we don't have a direction yet on our infrastructure. So okay. We've got hybrid stuff going on over here. So like I said, I in a perfect world, we would just bounce and flip the switch and migrate to the new infrastructure, but I'm not going to hold my breath that that's going to happen in time.
Right. Okay.
Okay. We'll have to do definitely there'll be a lot of hybrid coordination there for sure.
Right. Sounds good. Okay.
But thank you all very much. It's very informative. Heather, Jim, Kurt, everybody here done a wonderful job on their presentations and the information displayed. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Good thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much and have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.